There may be something missing this spring, the threat of flooding, and a spring of possibilities in area theaters after a year of COVID in the cities. It's become a rite of spring, seasonal flooding causing minor headaches for many of us, but for those who make their living in flood-prone areas or who have their homes in areas where flooding has become a growing concern, this year is a godsend compared to the last 2 years. We talk with National Weather Service hydrologist Jessica Brooks about what's so different this time around. It's kind of a case of we got more snow than people to the north of us got.
Absolutely, where I know a lot of people see what we had here, which was a lot of snow, but and think that everybody in the whole region got that much snow, but that wasn't the case. Actually, we were kind of the hot seat of the snowfall this year, and areas to the north that we are concerned with for Mississippi River flooding all had really below normal snowfall this year.
But let's talk about the areas that you had the greatest concerns, and that was pretty much the Rock River and some of the smaller rivers, even like the Wapsipinicon, where the watershed is much smaller, of course, than the Mississippi River, and that the fact that we had more snow in extreme southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and our area has a greater impact, especially on the Rock.
Yeah, so when we look at the river basins themselves, the Rock River Basin, almost the entire basin had the heavy snowfall in it. So we looked at that entire basin had 2 to 4 inches of liquid in the snowfall. And so all of that area is going to drain into the Rock River. The Wapsipinicon River is the same thing. As we go into some of our other river basins, say like the Cedar River, the Iowa River, they have a lot of snow in the lower halves of their river basins, but as we go to the northern half, they didn't have as much snow in that area. So the fact that they didn't have the snowpack in the entire watershed meant that their risk was not going to be quite as high as, say, we're looking at for like the Rock River this year.
Well, you take a look at 2.5, 3 weeks ago, exceedingly cold temperatures, and then that big rapid warm up, exactly the ingredients you don't want to see when it comes to ice jams and other problems along the river. What have you seen now? What has been the impact over the last few days of the nice weather?
Well, while it did seem like we warmed up really fast because we came out of that extreme cold so fast, the temperatures have actually been almost ideal for what we would want for snowmelt purposes. So we've had a few days that were, you know, into the 50s that melted a lot of snow, but we've had a lot of days that were, you know, upper 30s, low 40s, and then almost every night we're getting below freezing again. So that will slow down the melting process of the snow, because when it freezes, it's obviously not melting anymore. So just that daily up and down really, really impacts the slower melt of the snow and really improves our chances to not flood or not flood as bad as we would maybe have potential to be if it would melt really, really fast. So if that wouldn't have happened, say if we would have had 50, 60 degree temperatures during the day and then, you know, staying in the upper 30s at night, that melting process would be continuous, and then you'd get that continuous runoff into the rivers, and that's when you're going to see the higher rises happening. Speaking of ice jams, as you mentioned, that we did get ice on the rivers. It was very late in the season. We didn't get ice really until that big cold snap during February. And because it took that long for us to get that really cold weather, the ice didn't get to be really thick. So when we got the warm up, it kind of just gradually melted that ice, and that was perfect. I think this is the first year we haven't had ice jam issues on the Rock River since I've been here, and that's going on 6 years now.
Well, and that's such a huge plus for us for the spring, of course. So Walk me through this. You've done 2 flood projections. You have one more coming in the middle of March. What changes are you making since you made that second projection?
Yeah, so coming up on our next outlook, which will come out on the 11th, we're actually probably almost shifting towards a more near-term flood potential instead of looking out further in say in the next 2 to 3 months. And that's because we're seeing all of our snow melting right now. And so by next Thursday, it's very likely that we're going to see most of the snow in the area not here anymore. So we'll be kind of talking about, well, how fast did that snow melt? Are we going to get any flooding as that water's still getting through the river systems? And then what's going to be happening in the coming weeks? Because we're not done with spring active weather. We're looking at actually pretty active pattern coming up here over the next couple of weeks. So whether that means we get decent amounts of rain, it's possible we could get some colder air come back in and get more snow here in the coming weeks. So we're going to be looking at how is that going to impact our area after we get rid of all this snow.
Boy, we had such a battle, of course, as you well know, in 2019 with the floods. Then there was that flood outlook at the beginning of 2020 where we were sitting there going, oh no, not another year. And that didn't become as bad as we had thought it could have become. And this year, I mean, at worst, you were saying minor flooding. There's a real possibility of that. So it sounds like of the 3 years, at least right now, this could be the best one.
Oh yes, by far. Yeah, where the last couple of years we had conditions that were, almost perfect to have flooding happening. I know we talked a couple of years ago about how wet the snow or the ground was, and that was the same thing over the last 2 years. Where this year our ground is not that wet. We've actually been really dry over the past year or so, where areas just to our west have been in drought conditions or in and out of drought conditions since in the last year. So having those drier soils very much relieves us of having those really high probabilities of flooding, because our soils are going to be able to help out a bit when we get rain, or if we do get additional snow here in the next month, that those soils are going to be able to take in some of that water, especially now because we're with the warm weather we've had, our soils are thawing out. We do still have some areas, especially north of here, that do have frozen ground still. So as the snow melts, it's most of that meltwater is getting into the river systems, and that will happen until the ground thaws. But after in the next week, most areas will probably see the ground thawed. So any additional rain and snow we get here this spring, the soils are going to be able to help us out and take in some of that water. So all of that additional rain and snow is not going to be put right into our river system. So that's a big positive as well.
Another big positive, of course, was didn't we have a relatively the frost depth wasn't as deep as it has been in the past. Didn't that work in our favor as well?
It certainly did. Since we were so warm through December and January, while we didn't get the ice on the rivers, we also didn't see our ground freeze. We really didn't get the ground to freeze in this area until February. And even then, we had that thick snowpack across the area. So the ground really wasn't able to freeze very deep because that snow acted as a blanket and insulated the ground. So even when we were sitting at those, 10 to 12, 20 below temperatures, we only saw the ground freeze to maybe 6-10 inches. Whereas on a different scale, I was looking at areas over in the Dakotas that did not have any snow when they got the heavy or the really cold weather. And granted, they were a little colder than we got, but in that time period, they saw their frost depths go up to like 40 or more inches deep, where again, we only saw maybe 4 to 6, some areas 10 to 12 inches. So that snow actually really helped us. And so now as we're getting this warm weather, it's not taking as much time for the ground to thaw out. And again, that's the big positive that's gonna help us out as the ground thaws. So it'll be able to to ingest some of that rain that we might get, or any more snow melt that we might get here this spring.
Well, it has been good news to hear that the Mississippi River chances of flooding really did diminish. Does that also hold true for areas to the south of us? In other words, if we have more snow than they had further to the north of us, people to the south of us still have to worry more?
Yeah, so the areas we're worried about on the Mississippi are really the Quad Cities and south. And when I say worried about, I should say we're thinking we have a higher chance of reaching minor flood stage. We're not anticipating higher probabilities of reaching, you know, a moderate or major flood stage this year due to our current conditions. But that's as that water, we're getting the inputs from the Rock River, and we're getting inputs from the Iowa River further downstream, and then we'll get inputs from the Skunk and the Des Moines rivers further downstream. So you're just adding more water into the system from some of these watersheds that do have quite a bit of snow. But as a whole, and why we don't have a higher risk for minor flooding upstream of the Quad Cities is because we're looking at the inputs from those rivers I had just mentioned. And there is going to be a rise in the river due to the snow melt from Minnesota and Wisconsin. But it's just not enough to have us have a higher probability for flooding. You know, it's going to come up, but is it actually going to reach flood stages? The probabilities aren't very high for that. And another thing I have been telling people is to see a difference between the past couple of years and this year is that because our soils aren't wet, we're going to see this water come from the snow. It's going to come through. You're going to see a peak come through, and it's going to be done. Whereas in the last couple of years, we saw the high river levels continue for a long time. You know, obviously 2019 was the worst, as we stayed in very high river stages for a very long time. But last year was bad too. We weren't as, you know, we weren't in my major flood stage for an exorbitant amount of time. Actually, we didn't even hit major flood stage last year.
Well, as you know, I mean, like you were pointing out, in 2019, it seemed to come in waves because I think we had two major crests in that year. And like you said, last year there was a crest, but then it did diminish.
It did, but it still lingered. We still had flooding continue for quite some time because it just, any time we got a little bit more rain, it just added to the river, and we just weren't able to get those levels down to normal levels. Where this year, I would foresee us being able to, you know, the river will come up and then it'll go down, and we'll be able to get back to our normal levels, which won't bring about a new flood event every time it rains. You know, and granted, if we get into a more wet pattern here in the coming months, our soil conditions could change, but that's what we're looking at right now.
National Weather Service meteorologist Jessica Brooks. In a moment, hitting the stage after a pandemic kept theaters dark. It hits close to home for Laura Adams, who loves all things involving the theater, and she does have a couple ideas for you if you want to go out and about.
This is Out and About for March 2nd through 16th. The Baraskin Art Gallery holds an 8-week STEAM Spring Art and Nature Science class in March. Registration is required. Junior Achievement is holding an Inspire Virtual Career Fair. Students will log on and explore dozens of careers available and attend webinars related to career planning beginning March 4th. Coming to the Rhythm City Casino Resort comedy series, Todd McComas on the 4th with shows at 7:30 and 11 p.m. and Ronnie Carrington on March 5th at 7:30 and 9 p.m. The Missouri Valley Conference Tournament will be held March 11th through 14th at the Tax Slayer Center in Moline. Watch 10 college teams compete for the conference championship. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds with bands, a parade, bounce houses, balloon artists, and more. And it's all free. The Spotlight Theater presents the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged. It's a nonstop laugh fest as three performers present all of Shakespeare's plays in 97 minutes. And the Black Box Theater in downtown Moline reopens with Dick Tracy, a live radio play featuring the case of the Big Top murders, who killed the clown and why. Coming March 11th through 20th, safety protocols are in effect. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
We're in this together, Quad Cities. We take care of one another. So mask up, wash your hands, and social distance, so that in time, we can get back to the very best version of the Quad Cities.
Electric Larry is a musician in the cities who says 50s and 60s rock is his greatest influence. Well, it's the music a lot of us love. And he came to the stage of Moline's Black Box Theater before the pandemic swept through the area. He performed one of his original works for us. Here's Electric Larry with I'm Still Here Hurting.
I'm sitting here hurting over you. I'm sitting here hurting over you. I'm sitting here, don't know what to do. I'm sitting here looking at the wall. I'm sitting here looking at the wall. I'm sitting here wondering what went wrong. I'm sitting here wishing you were home. I'm sitting here wishing you were home. I'm sitting here wondering what went wrong. I'm sitting here quiet over you. I'm sitting here quiet over you. I'm sitting here, don't know what to do. But darling, I know I love you. But darling, I know I love you. But darling, can't go on without you. I'm sitting hurting over you. I'm sitting here looking at the wall. I'm sitting here wishing you were home. I'm sitting here crying over you. But darling, I know I love you. But darling, can't go on without you. But darling, I know I love you. But darling.
Electric Larry with I'm Still Here Hurting performed on the stage of the Black Box Theater in Moline. Well, actually, theaters throughout our area are starting to reopen as more people get COVID vaccinations and state restrictions are eased, and it hasn't been easy. In fact, the Black Box Theater just opened Dick Tracy, a live radio play on its stage. It runs through next weekend. And Moline's Spotlight Theater opens next week with the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, a comedy that sees if three performers could perform all of Shakespeare's plays in 97 minutes. Tickets are now on sale. And tickets are also now on sale as Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse opens its doors after months of being closed. It's bringing back the Church Basement Ladies, and Circa's Brett Hitchcock joins us. Well, Brett, this is going to be, what, reopening 2.0. I mean, you got a chance, a bite at the apple back last fall, and then the surge came in November. Now, hopefully, you're going to open for good.
Yeah, we're really hopeful. One of the reasons why we pushed it back even a little further than what the state said we could open is just to try to make sure that when we open this time, that it's for good. You know, that we're not interrupted a second time again and have to shut down. And I think we're hopeful, by the way, the numbers are looking both nationwide and in the Quad City, greater Quad City area, that's going to be the case.
It is the Church Lady's Basement. What? You Smell mm-hmm. Barn? Is this
you
particular?
You Smell Barn. Yep.
Okay, I want to talk about that in just a second, but let me mm-hmm. talk about the fact that that's what's opening right now. What's been the response so far?
The response has been tremendous, and we have several different facets of the business here, one of which is the tour and travel side, and those are the people that come in from outside the area on motor coach buses, and they come in for the day and then they go home. And we've been working with them now for about a month, just checking numbers and making sure everything's okay. We really weren't sure what to expect coming back in, but we've been very happy that those numbers are going up. I mean, those motor coaches have been calling and adding seats when we were afraid they would be reducing or even canceling.
Right.
They've been adding on and in one case even adding a second coach to what they're doing. So people are really excited about coming back out. We just had our opening of our ticket office yesterday for individual ticket buyers. We had four people on the phones from 9:30 to 5, and we were solid the whole way through with five inbound lines. So I think the people are feeling good. They're getting the shots, and they're ready to get back out and start living again.
It's almost like opening the floodgates, isn't it? I mean, there's this, you always hear about pent-up demand, and you don't necessarily think about it in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I mean, I think that the audience is ready to get back in and see live entertainment. And our staff and the actors are just as excited to start doing it again because they've been out of work for a year as well. And so they're ready to get back and get at it too and see all those familiar faces with the season ticket holders that come in and our other guests. And just for our staff to be able to kind of reunite and see each other again is really neat.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal indeed. You said that you're taking extra precautions at Circa 21.
We are, yeah. We're still operating with a limited capacity. And we are requiring everybody wear a mask when they're moving around the building. We aren't requiring it when they're sitting at the table. That's pretty much in line with every other restaurant that you go to. But we are requiring when you're up moving around that you are. The other big change for us is for the foreseeable future, we're going to be going away from our buffets. And it will be a plated meal that's served at the table. So we take away the risk of, you know, people handling different utensils and that someone may already have and just, you know, the potential of passing it that way. So we've removed the buffets. We've got a great plated service. There'll be four different entrees when people come in and everyone will be picking two of the four entrees. And then it's served with the veggie and a starch.
Well, and some people might like that. They may prefer that more. But getting rid of a buffet, obviously, that's something you got to do.
Yeah, when we were open in the fall, we had just really great comments about the plated meal. And, you know, it's something we've been talking about maybe trying to do or trying to incorporate a little bit or one night a week for a couple of years. And so it's given us a really good run at this and a good sample size to see, you know, how people would react. I mean, we have a lot that are very positive about it. We do have some that are still the buffet lovers and are waiting for that to come back so they have options and they can go back and whatnot. And so we're just trying to experiment here and try to find really what is going to work the best, not only for now, but for moving forward as well once we get back to 100% capacity and moving along.
Church Lady's Basement, the latest latest version of this, all the way until May 15th. So there's a chance to see this. Make that chance. Tell me about it.
Well, this is the seventh in the series of shows, and of course, it's been the most popular one most popular series of shows that we've ever done here at Circa, and that's why we've done all of them. In fact, some of them multiple times, and so we're really excited for this one. This one has some twists and turns. There's a few more men in this one than in the past one, so we're excited about that. All new songs, but still the same old lovable characters.
Well, and it attracts a whole different type of audience. I mean, it's truly a family event.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that makes the Church Basement Lady Show so appealing is that you can see yourself in any of those women. You know, if you attend church regularly, those women that run that basement, you know, you can see, you know, those women in your church and everyone can relate to that. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's been so popular.
Well, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but I noticed that you got a 60s flashback. That's going to open May 21st. Saturday Night Fever is July, I think 16th is the plan for that. What are you expecting moving forward? Obviously, you're very bullish to get back into business. Are you hoping that some of the restrictions are freed up as we get further and further into 2021?
Well, that's kind of our hope, is that as we get further into this year and the numbers keep going down and down and down and more people are getting the shot, that hopefully we will be back to full capacity sometime, you know, this year. That would be ideal. Of course, we don't know any of that at this point, but, you know, we're certainly hopeful that as things progress, that, you know, the capacity levels will increase. The governor will do that and then ultimately get us back to 100% capacity. But with respect to the shows, we're hoping and we're anticipating that, again, this surge of people that we're seeing here for Church Basement Ladies is something that's going to carry through the whole year. I mean, people are just going to be so excited to get back out. And each one of those shows offers a little something different. You know, Church Basement Ladies is great family entertainment. You know, Beehive is all the female, you know, performers and ladies from the 60s. So it's filled with wonderful music there. Saturday Night Fever, of course, is the Bee Gees music from the 70s. Then Disenchanted in the fall is all the Disney princesses, kind of in a way that you've never seen them before. So it's really a broad season with something that's really there for everybody. So we're hopeful that this wave that we've seen in the last couple of days and weeks is going to carry through for the whole year.
Well, we're talking about Circa, but the Speakeasy is a much more intimate, a smaller venue that you have. How are you working that? Because it is a much smaller piece of property.
It is, yeah. It's much, much smaller than what Circa is, and we opened that 2 weeks ago. We've had a burlesque show and a drag show in there over the last 2 weeks with reduced capacity as well, and very similar to the audiences that were from the calls that we're getting for Circa. People are just so excited to be back out and watching live entertainment, you know, not having to watch it, you know, via computer or TV or something like that. You're actually getting back out and being entertained live. And I think that they are just so thrilled the last 2 weeks to be in that position that, you know, that's something else that made us really hopeful that was going to carry through over to Circa 2, which we're certainly seeing.
One last thing is for Circa 21, of course, you've got a great base of local talent that performs in your shows, but you also bring in people from outside the Midwest. And I know that, you know, when everything shut down a year ago, some of these people were sitting in a house. They didn't go back to New York because, as you remember, it was scarier in New York back a year ago than it was here.
Yep. Sure was.
What is it like for them now, for some of these people that are new to the Midwest or are, I'm sure they return quite often, but the fact that they've been on hold for this long?
Well, we have been trying as much as we can, just for the safety of everybody, to try to hire more local people. And so we've been very successful with doing that. But I think, you know, the cast that you're talking about that was just kind of stuck here was the Saturday Night Fever cast. And we have just started reaching out to all of those folks again, offering them to come back to do the show this summer. And we've heard from like 16 of 18 so far, and they're thrilled. They're so excited to come back to the Quad Cities and do the show finally, because we went through the entire rehearsal process last year and they were done. I mean, the costumes were done, the show was done, it was choreographed, it was ready to go. And at the week of opening, we had to shut the whole thing down. So it's finally a chance for them to come back and get involved with it again.
Brett Hitchcock of Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse. Both it and the neighboring The Speakeasy back open, as you heard, with limited seating, so check out Circa's website for details. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.